Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay, welcome to FMLFPL Fireside Chat. We are finally at the last international break of 2018 until, I guess, March or some shit. We have a really special guest, George Singer from the Fulhamish podcast. You know, me and Alon kind of thought Fulham front and center this international break. So we got Paul Georgie boy on over here. How you doing, George?
Yeah, mate. How are things?
Good. So again, you know, first managerial sacking, before we get on to the Tinkerman, the pizza merchant himself, Ranieri, kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on, you know, what's gone wrong so far under Jokanović.
Yeah, no, definitely. It feels like a sad one, to be honest. I think all the Fulham fans are really, you know, there's definite tinge of sadness to this one. He took us over in the Championship when we were on the brink of getting relegated to League One. I think a couple of seasons ago, we literally finished two places above the relegation spots, and then within 2 years, he took us to the playoffs, and then obviously that amazing day at Wembley last year to bring us up. And he brought us so many good memories from what was a really tough time in the Premier League previously and the Championship before he joined. So definitely a really sad one. And I think all the Fulham fans are, you know, really quite sad that it didn't work out for him in the Premier League. However, a bit of experience in the helm, obviously Ranieri's done it all before, so hopefully he's the right man to try and turn things around a bit and help us move up the table a bit.
Yeah, I mean, definitely got you flying last season. Were you kind of nervous going into the season knowing Jokanović is kind of like all out attack style and thinking he'd be able to, you know, put four past the mid table or whomever, or were you kind of just hopeful and happy to be back?
Yeah, well, we were all really interested to see how it was going to play out, because I think a few people dubbed us as the Barcelona of the Championship last year, and some of our which we loved. I'm not sure all fans agree, but we loved that title. You know, we had amazing pass stats, like 60% possession, pretty continuously, and all the chat was around whether we'd be able to do that again in the Premier League. Our defence was never that strong in the Championship, so we knew it would be tough to try and keep clean sheets in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed that, you know, really struggling from day one in the Premier League to keep goals out. We're on, I imagine it will slow down a bit, but we're on track to concede the most amount of goals in Premier League history, which is pretty crazy, really. And obviously in attack, things have started to dry up as well. Obviously, Mitrovic had a pretty good run, but now he's not really able to find the back of the net at the moment. So yeah, I think there's quite a bit for Ranieri to fix in a short amount of time.
Yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned Mitrovic. He's definitely like an FPL asset a lot of people have had in and out under Jokanović. But so we could just get into Ranieri. I mean, you know, we all know his famous 4-4-2 with Vards and Marty for the Leicester title-winning season. But, you know, the personnel for a 4-4-2 with you guys looks a little bit suspect. And we know Ranieri likes a 4-2-3-1 as well. What are you thinking formation-wise he's going to bring in?
Yeah, I think we're all expecting the 4-2-3-1. Obviously, the 4-4-2 worked really well at Leicester, but like you said, it doesn't really feel like we got the players for that. Mitrovic is our only real pure striking option. Vieto's done some pretty good stuff from out wide, and he's played striker before, but he doesn't feel like a striking partner for Mitrovic. And Abu Kamara, who's probably our other option, looks way off the pace from a Premier League quality.
Absolute fucking maniac.
He's quite fun to watch at times. But he's just mental, and he did it in the Championship, and he's doing it again in the Premier League. And when you're winning and flying high, it's funny. But when you're at the bottom of the table and conceding goals left, right, and centre, he's just a massive pain in the arse to have in the team. So we don't really have the strikers, and then our main midfield options probably kind of Seri and Kearney. I don't really see them playing in midfield too. They're not defensive enough. Okay. You probably need a CDM in there as well. So I think something along the lines of 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 is probably what we're going to end up playing.
All right. I mean, definitely Mitro is the target man central forward. But in terms of the three behind or the wingers, what's going on with Sessegnon? Because he was a name that was on the tip of tongues coming into the season. And Djokanovic is playing him at left back and fucking him around all season. Are you expecting him to just come into like the left wing spot and behind Mitrovic? Or what do you think of him for moving forward?
Yes. So we've always said, this is for the last 2 years before getting into the Premier League, that Sess's best spot is at left wing. He's a great forward. He's not like your classic winger in dribbling and putting crosses in. He acts more as like an inside forward. So he'll kind of pop up at the right time, and he's almost like a poacher in some ways. So he's a really great option to have at the left, left forward position. With injury issues, so Joe Bryan, who's our main left back, has been injured a fair bit this season, and we just don't have any other options really other than Sessegnon who can play there. Okay. I think he's done a pretty good job, to be honest, considering he's 17 years old, playing against some of the best wingers in the world. He's actually done a pretty good job at left back, but we're not seeing that attacking output which we were all hoping he would. I think at the moment he's lacking a bit of confidence. I think when you're in the Championship, you get lots of chances, lots of shots on goal. You can build a bit of momentum and really build some confidence, which we saw last season. And because he's moving from left wing to left back and kind of rotating a lot pretty much every game, you know, he's not getting those runner games in the right position for him, and he's not building up that confidence. And we saw against Liverpool, had a really good opportunity, which last season no doubt he would have put away, but because he just hasn't had that many opportunities to put the ball away. We're seeing a little bit of nerves, and I think that's part of the reason why he's struggling to put the ball in the back of the net.
I think that's a big ask for a teenager to learn a new position in the Prem. Like that's tough.
Yeah,
spot you put in right.
Absolutely, he's a really talented guy, and I think we all agree he's got the right temperament. He's a hardworking guy. He's not one of those kind of young players who thinks he's top of the world and doesn't try hard. He really does. So I think he's got all the markings to be a really great Premier League player, but I think we need to give him a bit of time and a bit of patience in his right position, and I'm sure we'll see the goals start coming.
So, I mean, we know Joe Bryan, he's played like three games all season and he's been dead with leg injury, lower body, hamstring injuries. It's been kind of a needs must from what I'm hearing from you, putting Sess at left back. Is Bryan going to be back after the break, or is it still going to be, are you still going to be short there at that position?
So I think Bryan should be back. There was an article on the website. He's back in training.
Okay.
So he should be, we're expecting him to be back available. Obviously it depends with a brand new manager, if Ranieri likes him or not, but I expect if he's fit, he's probably going to be the one that plays at left back.
I mean, do you even have another left back on the roster?
The only other option we've been playing around with is Maxime Le Marchand. So came from France in summer. We really like him on the pod. He's one of our favourite defenders.
And he's really young, right?
He's more experienced actually. I think late 20s, 27-ish. So he's a really good centre back, but he's clearly, one of those players who can sort of play at left back. It's not his strongest position. So a few times he's been fielded there to try and move Sess up, but
go ahead, George.
No, we just really don't have a proper backup for Bryan, and when he's injured, we're lacking options to bring in his place.
Yeah, that was good spending like the most money of any team in the world and not buying backup left back cover. Okay, all right, management.
Yep, absolutely.
So in terms of the back four, kind of Mawson's kind of not settled in, and what are you looking at there? Is Chambo going to be in there? Odoi at right back? What are you expecting from Ranieri at the back four?
So your guess is as good as mine here, really.
Okay.
Honestly, we don't have a clue what's going on. We've played with Slavisa, we played, I think, pretty much every combination of about five centre-backs of different pairings. And it's been, every week we try a different one. They play horrendously badly, ship three or four goals, and the next week it's a brand new two in there. I mean, so
it's such a mad thing because, especially with a centre-back pairing, but just a back four, the more you chop and change, obviously they're going to be shipping goals, right? Like, you need stability. You need to build on something. I mean, isn't it a mad? I mean, isn't that? I mean, it's your Canada just got fired, but how, as a fan, I mean, how frustrating is that when you see a different back four every day, every week?
Yeah, I mean, we call it Slav Bingo. So every time he releases the team sheet, we take a look and say, oh God, what has he done this week? Yeah, it's something we've been calling for ages, just a bit of stability. And
I mean, you're going to get that with Ranieri for sure.
Hopefully. And I think what we're all crying out for, I don't think at this point we're probably past caring who the defenders are. Just pick two of them and keep playing them.
Sure.
I think that's really what we're looking out for here. Okay. If I had to go for two, I'd go for Alfie Mawson and Le Marchand. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably the two that stand out for me. However, any of them, just pick two and keep them, for God's sake. Stop chopping and changing. Just pick two.
Just consistency for once. Okay, I hear you.
That's all we want. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get watched. Bob Huth out of retirement straight in.
No, please no. Don't need any more centre backs. We've got plenty.
Yeah, Chambers, I've never rated personally seeing him. He always just seems a liability.
Yeah, it's really interesting because speaking to a few Arsenal fans when we signed him, they're all saying that they expected him to break into their first 11 this year. Obviously, Holding's done pretty well for them, but they expected Chambers to kind of play that role. We all had really high hopes, and he's been a bit of a disappointment, really. Quite a lot of mistakes. Yeah. I think against Cardiff in our pretty disastrous 4-2 loss, he was played out at right back, which he really struggled with, especially against a Cardiff attack, which is pretty poor. Let's face it, he really struggled there. He did move into like a CDM role against Liverpool.
He's played there before.
Yeah, so maybe that kind of more limited, almost like an anchorman role in CDM would be a good option for him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely one we've been a little bit frustrated with because we expected big things, and he's maybe not done as well as we'd hoped.
All right. So, I mean, defense, I guess it's a wait and see, especially from an FPL standpoint. A lot of cheap defenders, and we know what Ranieri can. I mean, he makes Danny Simpson look like a capable right back. I'm sure he'll turn some of these guys around and clean sheets will start coming. But for now, you think just give it a couple weeks, see who settles in, see who he's preferring, and go from there?
Yeah, it feels like one that it doesn't feel like I could recommend any Fulham defenders at this point from a fantasy side. It'll be interesting to see what he does with the fullbacks. Obviously, at Leicester, they played kind of slightly more reserved fullbacks. So Danny Simpson and who's the left back? Fuchs. They played a bit more defensively and attacked a bit less. So it'd be interesting to see if he tries to do a similar thing with our fullbacks. Sort of Christie and Brian normally are kind of quite flying fullbacks and like to get up. So it'd be interesting to see if they, if he stops them doing that a bit, which might reduce their assists and things like that.
So. I mean, I remember him always, Fuchs was always kind of bombing forward and Simpson was maybe a little more reserved. Maybe he'll kind of pick one and overload or something like that. I mean, we'll see. But
yeah,
so I want to move into the attack. So if we're talking about 4-2-3-1 here, what are you looking at the number 10? I know a lot of people are excited about Tom Kearney and he's had a bit of injuries and he's got that big hair going on. But do you think he might be that number 10 option?
I think he's the main man for number 10. I think that's, we all like him in that position up there. He's an incredible playmaker. For a couple of years in the Championship, he ran the team.
Yep.
Everything went through him. He was the focal point. Throughout the Championship, he kind of dropped a bit deeper and dropped a bit deeper and almost played that kind of like a quarterback role, I guess you could call it. But we'd really like to see him push forward a bit more and influence the game up top. So I think if we were to go for a 4-3-3-1, I think he's probably the key man in the number 10 position. I guess the issue there becomes Jean-Michel Seri, who's clearly a really talented player, but, you know, the the challenge is where he might fit in this new system. So it'll be really interesting to see what Claudio does.
Do you think Sarri could sit in a two in front of the defense, or he's just too marauding? He's too forward thinking.
I think he needs a really defensive guy next to him who could pick up a bit of the slack. I think he's okay defensively, Sarri, but that's clearly not his role. He's really not physical at all. He's absolutely a tiny player. But he's so good on the ball and keeps us ticking over. And some of his assists so far have been really great to see. So I think we'd all really like him to play. However, it might be in the short term we sacrifice a bit of his creativity and put a few more defensive players in just to try and shore up the defence and protect them a bit more and try and get that first clean sheet.
He's so much quality to bench him, you know?
Yeah, he's a good option to have. It's crazy how a promoted team was spent £100 million and bringing in these players who were meant to sign for Barcelona a year ago. So yeah, some really, really good quality. I think it's just we need to find a system to fit it all in, and that's what Slavisa just wasn't able to do.
Yeah, it was kind of always a square pegs with round holes with him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does feel a bit, obviously he's playing with a few championship players, and I do think he's a Champions League quality player. So maybe it's a little bit more difficult for him to really fit in when the players around him aren't necessarily on the same wavelength. So I do think we need to give him a bit of time, but it'll be really interesting to see what Ranieri does with him.
Yeah, I agree. Tell me about Charlotte. He's always kind of a mad player to evaluate. He kind of comes in and out of games. Sometimes he's invisible for 70 and then he pops up with a worldie. Do you guys like him? Do you like what you've seen out of him? Or?
I think we had high hopes. Obviously, as a World Cup winner, played in with some of the biggest teams, obviously Chelsea and Wolfsburg and Dortmund. So really good pedigree there. We're expecting a lot. I think he's one of those players when the team's playing really well, he's a joy to have because he can create some great chances and his lots of shots on goal. I think he's one of the, you know, his shooting output is really high. However, in the position we're in at the moment, I think we're all getting pretty frustrated with him. He's shooting a lot from deep. If you look at his shot map and where he's shooting from, it's all from deep. And, you know, he's scored a couple of worldies, and I think he's won the last two goal of the month, which is pretty cool. But
they still count for one goal, though. Still the same as the
exactly. Exactly. They don't count anymore. And for every two he scores, he misses about 50. So he's a really frustrating one to have. If I was Claudio and I had to choose between him and Luciano Vietto, who's potentially the other option, maybe on the other wing to Sessegnon, I think Vietto potentially offers a bit more, especially creativity-wise. You know, Vietto's put a few assists in, and I think if we could give him a continued run of games, I think Vietto would probably add more to the team than Schürrle at this point.
So you think that's a shout, that Vietto could take Schürrle's spot and Schürrle could drop to the bench, potentially?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, it's hard to guess what Claudio is going to want to do, and maybe he wants a bit more of a defensive option there. So which might suit Schürrle. You know, Schürrle's defensive output is pretty good. He does put a shift in and he does drop back to help out. So it might be the case that Claudio prefers that. However, if it was me taking over the Fulham spot, I'd probably go for Vietto. But at this point, it's obviously really hard to tell with the new manager who's going to come in.
Yeah, I mean, Schürrle is just so frustrating because, like you mentioned, I mean, every goal he scores, it's like 2-3 off target. It's just a turnover. You finally get into the final third and you got your guys up there and he just blasts some shit into Rosette and then it's a disaster. You know, you have to start over.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating, especially when, you know, when we're shipping goals to the other end and as soon as we do get the ball up the top, he'll shoot from kind of 30 yards out and it'll go flying over and you're just like, oh. Come on, just pass it. Just pass it.
Get a higher percentage chance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's a really frustrating one.
So I'm just, you know, hearing you talk about the personnel you guys have and just keep thinking back to kind of the 4-4-2 that Ranieri played at Leicester, and you know, they would hit on the counter. You know, obviously Mars and Vardy are very integral, but I mean, is there a shout for the 4-4-2? I know you're mentioning maybe defensively it's gonna be that you don't have a Conte type player who can play, you know, the part of two men in one body in midfield. But yeah, maybe Sess or Vieto could play up top. I mean, you do, other than Mitrovic, who's more of like an Okazaki type, hold upy type guy, but you do have some pace. You do have some pace up top. Do you think that's a possibility, or you guys are just like, no?
I think if we were to do that, Sess would end up being the focal point. He's really quick, and yeah, obviously he's a very different player to Vardy, but there's some definite similarities there. And from a, you know, his attacking positioning is really good. He knows where to position himself. He is quick. He can be direct. So it might be interesting to see some kind of combination with maybe Mitro with Sess off him.
Because he
can
run him behind. He's so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives us a couple of different options. Mitro's really turned into that target man this year. He's had a lot of kind of long balls booted up to him recently, which we've maybe not liked as much, but he's a really strong target man. So, you know, the physicality of Mitrovic and the speed and kind of, you know, poaching ability of Sess might be a really interesting combination up front. It's not something we've played that much, and I think it's going to be interesting whether Ranieri changes our style a lot from something that was very, you know, slow build up, lots of passes, slowly try and find space to move the ball into. If Claudio does want to go to more of a counter-attacking play, it's going to take a while. There's going to be a transition there. So it'll be interesting to see whether he tries to do that straight away, or maybe like he did at Leicester, try and really, you know, keep things going as they were and not try and change too much. So it's going to be a really interesting one.
Yeah, the managerial sacking did, it, in fairness, come at a good time. You got the 2 weeks, right? So, I mean, he'll be able to work on things a little bit longer than just coming in, you know, on a Monday, have a couple training ground sessions, and then you have a game straight away at the weekend, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all agreed that, I don't think all Fulham fans agree that it was the right move to make, but it does. I think we've all agreed that if we were to do it at a point, this would be the time. I think last time we were in the Premier League with Martin Jol, you know, he should have been sacked a lot earlier. And then we brought in a new manager and then sacked him straight after the transfer window, which is absolutely mental, and brought in Felix McGath, who was just one of the worst managers we've ever had.
Just wanting to rub cheese on everyone every day.
The cheese rubbing, the bizarre training sessions. So many stories have come out of that, which have been absolutely crazy. So
that was great. I forgot about that storyline. That was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Yeah. It's I think we're all glad those days are in the past. Yes, definitely probably the least their least favourite manager we've ever had from the Fulham side. So
they should have hired you instead.
Right. I think anyone could have done better than Felix McGath, to be honest. This feels like the right time for Ranieri. Give him some time. Give him the transfer window, and yeah, we've got the quality. I think we're all hopeful that we should have enough just to stay up the season.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, on paper, Fulham were not really shouted for relegation preseason. I mean, you guys bought a lot, you have good quality. So, I mean, Ranieri, you know, came in after finishing ninth with Nantes in Ligue 1 last season, but got into a little bit of an altercation and issues with ownership. So that was a little bit sketchy. Are you guys worried about that at all? Or do you think it's going to... Because, you know, your transfer policy, I don't know how much you have to spend in January. Maybe you could shed some light on that. But do you think that's going to be a problem, I mean, in the medium to long term, if you want to have him for a few seasons?
Yes. So it's an interesting one. Our recruitment system is, well, it was something Jukanovic always had issues with. So we've got our own recruitment system, which is heavily based on data. So done a lot of work recently on data analysis, and each player that comes in has to kind of what we call both boxes ticked. So the scouting team have to sign off on him, the data team have to sign off on him. And I think that caused a lot of issues, because there were certain players which Slavisa wanted, which the data team would go and say, for whatever reason, they're not happy signing him. So there was always a fair bit of friction between Slavisa and the recruitment team. It's interesting, on the website, when Ranieri came in, there was a specific line saying that the same recruitment system will keep. So there'll still be this central recruitment team. So Ranieri's not necessarily in charge of all the players we bring in. So it's going to be interesting to see if Ranieri's happy with that. You know, if we're still in trouble come the January transfer window and Ranieri's really sure on the kind of player we need and the data team may disagree with that, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who wins that battle. So, I don't know. At the moment, I think we're all kind of focusing a bit on the short term here. So let's just stay up this season and then see what position we're in next season. Obviously with someone like Ranieri, even doing as well as he did at Leicester, did an incredible job there. He was only at Leicester for a year and a half. He was only at Nantes for a year. The jobs he was at previously were, you know, just over a year as well. So I don't think anyone's necessarily expecting Ranieri to be at Fulham for years to come. But in the short term, hopefully he's the right man to kind of stabilize us a bit.
So he's basically the Italian Sam Allardyceo.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, in some ways, maybe. I don't see him necessarily playing the same you know, hoof long ball that Allardyce likes to play. But there's, you know, hopefully the good points of Big Sam of stabilising the ship, you know, the defensive stability. Yeah, exactly. And coming in at the right time to make sure the players are concentrating on the right things in a bit of a relegation dogfight. So yeah, maybe the Italian Big Sam, maybe.
So, I mean, looking at the schedule, you guys have some really favorable home games until January. Do you think, I mean, you're sat on 5 points, haven't won a game in dog's years. Are you are you feeling good? You think you guys are going to come out of this?
So we in the last few weeks, we had a few, had a few games which we expected we'd do well. So Cardiff away, Huddersfield away, and we're all kind of banking on those to be our, you know, our get out of jail free cards to try and move up the table. And like you've seen, we've struggled 4-2 loss against Cardiff, which was poor.
That game was insane.
I mean, that it was maybe more interesting as a neutral, but the Huddersfield one was terrible. Just really dour, insipid performance. If we were still playing now, I don't think we would have scored a goal. Yeah.
Yeah, Huddersfield, they drag everyone down to their shit ass level every week. Yeah. It's horrible to watch. Horrible spectacle.
It is, but it's working for them, and they've got more points than us. So yeah, you might not like their style of football, but they got more points than us. So I don't think, you know, I don't think we can. Well, certainly I can't have too many bad words about them.
Yeah, it's working for them. As they said in 19th, you guys can take the same bus down to the championship together.
yeah, maybe. We'll see. But yeah, some of the games coming up. I think Southampton's going to be a really interesting one.
Yeah,
obviously they're really struggling as well. Mark Hughes is I'm not a fan of their style of football and what they're doing over there, which is a real shame. A few years ago they were one of the shining lights in English football, great pipeline of players coming in, great managers coming in, and it's all sort of slowly gone downhill. Yeah. So
I mean, it's Liverpool's theater club, so what can you expect?
Absolutely, yeah, I know, but they always seem to have this good pipeline of people coming in. You know, they'd sell their players, but they've still got three or four more good ones in the reserves, and it looks like they've really lost that. So it feels like a good time to play them. I think it's going to be a really huge one, and then there's a couple coming up: Leicester at home, and a few more coming up. Which obviously there's no easy games in the Premier League, but if there were any games you'd probably pick to have, there's a few of them coming up. So hopefully we get their new manager bounce and we can take some, finally build a couple of clean sheets and maybe sneak a couple of wins in those games coming up.
Yeah, man, new manager bounce in, that is a thing. I'm going to be pulling for you, dude. So I think that's all I wanted to cover. Is there anything else we didn't touch on that you wanted to kind of shed light on, or are you feeling good about the topics? Everything's good?
Yeah, no, I think we've covered most of the bits. I think, like we said, it's going to be really interesting to see what Ranieri does. It's kind of hard to predict. So, you know, it'd be great at this point if I could, maybe recommend some Fulham players to bring in. But at this point, it's one of those you know, as a fantasy player, you'd probably just wait and watch and see to see what Ranieri does. I think if there was one player who might be worth maybe being on the watch list is Mitrovic. Obviously, he's had a pretty good spell earlier in the season, so it'd be interesting to see if Ranieri can get him firing again. But at the moment, it's probably one of those just wait and see how we're doing there in the first few weeks with Ranieri.
All right, George. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Really enjoyed the chat. That was really sweet. Where can you be found on social media? You want to plug your life away?
Yeah, time for the plug, right? So, so I'm a part of Fulhamish, which is essentially we've got a podcast, got a website blog, and also we're doing some bits on YouTube as well. So, main piece if on your favourite podcast provider, just search for Fulhamish, we'll be on there. Fulhamish.co.uk for the website, and then if you want to watch some of our videos, we've got fan cams, we've got me and some other guys do a stat show where we look at some of the Fulham numbers and see how things are going, which just dropped earlier this week. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, then search on YouTube for Fulham Mission. We'll be on there.
All right. What about, are you on Twitter?
Yep, I'm on Twitter, singer_FFC. We'll probably do some retweets or something, so I'll hopefully be on there, and at Fulhamish Pod for the main podcast account as well.
All right, George, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks. Cheers, Adam. Bye.